The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change? Hello, everybody. Welcome. You might be listening live here in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW, anywhere around the world on transformationtalkradio.com, or perhaps on my Facebook professional page, or after the fact in one of the dozens of podcasts that ends up, or on my YouTube channel, wherever and whenever you're joining us from today. Thank you. Thank you so much. We do this show for you. And I'm really excited about our guest today. But before I introduce her, I would like to say hello to the people behind the technology, Mr. Benny Mathers at KKNW. Hey, Benny.
Hi, Christine. Good to see your bright, shining face yet again for another wonderful week.
And, you know, I'm feeling shinier than usual because the sun is shining.
Yeah, that works.
February.
Ow, ow, ow. Yeah, let's knock that winter out. Move on into spring.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, and we have to be very patient living in the Seattle area. And hello to Kent. Kent's the one behind the technology today. Hello, Kent.
Hey, how's it going?
Here. Good, thank you.
Glad to be here.
And I am too. And folks, before I introduce our guest, I want to, I'm not going to make the announcement quite yet. There's going to be a special announcement next week. Things are going to be shifting with the show. So if you are enjoying these shows, and I know we've got some faithful listeners, please get onto my YouTube channel, Christine Upchurch, and sign up there. Also sign up on my website, christineupchurch.com, to keep tabs on what's going on and where these conscious conversations are. But we'll talk more about that next week. I'm really excited about our guest today. Here's somebody who has been through the ringer, so to speak. Life has brought her challenges, and she's not only turned it around within her own life, she teaches other people to do it as well. And she is an author. She's a spiritual thought leader. She's an NDE survivor, personal evolution mentor, and an ascension coach, which I love, and the founder of Now Level Up. She's going to tell us a little bit about her story, about the trauma that she experienced. But she had some unusual things happen that really helped transform her life, and she's bringing it to others now. And I'd like to welcome our guest today, Cassandra Mary Bauer. Welcome, Cass.
Thank you so much, Christine. I appreciate you having me on the show today. It really means a lot to me.
Well, it's a joy. And, you know, this is all about having conscious conversations. And I know that each and every person in the world has their own story, has faced their own challenges. Some have been more horrific challenges than others. And I know that you're no exception to that. Can you please share with our viewers and listeners a little bit about your traumatic upbringing and your awakening?
Yeah, of course. You know, obviously we've all got a pretty long story, so I'll keep it short for the listeners, but I'll keep it impactful as well. So a little bit about me is, you know, I grew up from what I like to call a bit of a dark, you know, story, you know, a lot of addiction, a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, and mostly mirrors around me who were not honoring their own path. People that were in their own story and programmed to see life through their trauma and through their own conditioning and their own thoughts and their own beliefs. And when I was growing up, the way that I kind of like to say it is that I felt very alone. You know, I grew up in a family that, because of their own trauma and their own, and being in their own story, it was hard for them to show up for me as a child growing up in the world, and for my brothers. My brothers are Blake and Jason. And throughout the years of growing up, I went through, you know, my mother getting a divorce, and it was a very traumatic divorce. There was a lot of abuse entailed with that, mental, emotional, spiritual, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And at a young age, at around seven, my mother got remarried. So, you know, to a man that I call my father, he was the biggest angel and blessing to come into my personal life. And in the same breath, we went from living a life of really not having much to mm-hmm. a family of having everything, which to anyone listening, I bring it up because when you go from being a program to having not so much, living in an apartment with, you know, living on top of each other with stuff surrounding you, and then moving into a mansion with a gate surrounding you, there could be so many people in this world that are like, oh, that's such a blessing. That's so beautiful. But to a degree, I went from, you know, living next to my brother and my mother to living in a place where I could barely find them. You know, so if you think about that energetically, there was a separation that happened, and even an even deeper separation of souls. Mm-hmm. And when I was around 8 years old, 9 years old, when I was in school, I was, you know, I was just being Cass. I was, you know, being, you know, my energetic out there self that I've always been. I've always been a very free spirit since I was a little girl. And because of the marriage and because of my parents being in their own story, you know, no one really saw the depth of what was going on with me, which was, you know, wanting attention, wanting to, you know, be this playful thing. And the school actually digested it as ADD and ADHD and having a learning disability, saying that I couldn't sit still, saying that, you know, that I basically, they just couldn't control me. So I was sent to a doctor and I was asked to be put on Adderall, which, you know, the way that I describe it is Adderall is a drug that takes over your nervous system, which is the command center of the body.
And also the connection to the spiritual realm in my view as well.
So much. Yeah. I mean, it's so basically what the system I like to say is asking from me is to give up all authority of controlling my body and letting mm-hmm. a substance do it for me. And of course, at that moment of my life, I had no awareness around this at all. And neither did my parents, because my parents were not, you know, and nothing against them at all. They weren't in a conscious space when I was a child. So, you know, long story short, I was put on Adderall, and I call it the drug that stole my soul. And I was forced to take it when I was in high school, which was a very traumatic experience for me. And I remember the day that I, you know, I was asked and forced to take it in school. And I went home that day and I thought to myself, okay, well, you know, no one in my life wants me to be me. No one even sees me anymore. My parents are in their own story. My friends are in their own story. The school system's in their own story. And you know what? If this drug helps me dissociate from my body, I might as well do it. So that led me down a 15-year pill addiction, where I describe it as I was just constantly dissociating from my body mm-hmm. and running through my moments so quickly that I wasn't showing up for my life. And then when I was about 25 years old, I had gotten a call from my brother Blake while I was working at a job, you know, that I was fueling my addiction with, and I was in a toxic relationship, and I was informed that my eldest brother Jason had overdosed. Oh. And from that moment, I heard my brother say that, and I fell to my knees. And the moment that I hit the floor, it was like I woke up. I woke up from like a trance for 15 years. And really what it was a moment that the universe was like, this is the reality of your life. And it was the moment that my soul re-entered the human body, and I couldn't believe what was actually happening in my life. It was a very big wake-up call for me. So from that moment on, it was almost like I was forced in my body, right? So imagine 15 years of not being in this human experience, consistently dissociating, and then being forced to come back in. So I had a lot of feelings, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. I woke up to my energy body and I didn't like it. I didn't like what I was feeling. And I made a decision to get sober after his death. And I did get sober. I, you know, went through a lot in that to get myself sober. And when I did, the way that, you know, I digest it now is that it was just too overwhelming to feel the entirety of the human experience, to feel the peer pressure, to feel the story that I had created, that I was working a job that I hated just to fuel my addiction. And I went into a situation at work that forced me into being who I had been while I was taking drugs. And so I, you know, I had a couple drinks, I got behind the wheel of my car, and I was driving down the highway when I literally heard my subconscious saying, you know, are you ready to play? Like, are you really ready to live into your life? And I started to speed up, and I ended up, I almost hit a car. And instead of hitting the car, I turned the wheel and I accelerated into a ditch. And I flipped 7 times, hit a tree, flipped over a 5-foot fence. And the next thing that I knew, I was in heaven. And I was with my brother, Jason, and I was in a full-blown conversation with him. And it was the only thing that was real to me. And, you know, and he said to me, Cass, you know, you are not alone, but you have to remember that you are not alone. And you are to go back and to create a channel to allow everyone to know that they are not alone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I woke up in that hospital bed, I had this thought while I was there with these wires connected to me. My head was like a watermelon. I broke all my ribs. I broke my collarbone. Oh. You know, I was sitting there and I had this thought, you know, Cass, the character that you've been playing your whole life is just not working. Like something keeps going wrong. Like something doesn't feel right. And it's like, I came into this world alone, right? We come in here alone. And I'm like, and I had this feeling like, you know, this realization, like I'm going to leave alone, but while I'm here, I have to realize this message that I'm not alone. And I have to understand, okay, if that character's not working, what character do I want to choose to play now?
And I love that imagery of playing a character. Decades ago when I was facing cancer and I was doing a lot of dream, you know, taking notes about my dreams and dream interpretation. I had a dream where I went into this theater and I was up on stage, but I was, and then I went off stage and I wasn't sure if I was going to go be going back on stage. And I looked outside and I saw this beautiful green rolling hills. And I realized that it was a choice to be here, to play a role. Mm. And on some level that sounds shallow, right? Because we think of acting as being somewhat shallow. And yet another level, it's absolutely poignant because we're coming in as a soul connected to source, choosing to play it out. Mm-hmm. And it's not trivial at all. It's not shallow at all. It's actually very inspirational if we take that role seriously.
100%. I feel like the best commitment you could have in this world is to the character you're choosing to be while you're here, because this is the biggest stage we all have.
Yeah. I love that. And some people think they don't have a choice though. You know, that you're talking about choosing to be a character. So many people feel that they have been victimized by life, victimized by their experiences. Kind of either they've born with the DNA telling them, or their personality is being defined in a certain way, you know, sort of genetically, and then their experiences molding them, and that they don't have a choice to choose. What do you say about that?
Well, I believe that we are a product of our environment. And I went through that my whole life. I saw addiction. I saw my parents completely replaying the cycles from our family over and over. There was addiction, there was pain, there was suffering. And my truth is for me personally, I don't know if I would have woken up to that realization unless I had this awakening. I don't know. I can't answer that because my story is my story. But what I do know is that everyone I work with, when I do radical reprogramming with them and I take them through visualizations of their past and I stand there and I hold their hand through it, and they get to, it's like being in the audience of watching their movie play out, and they sit there and they go, oh, that was actually never mine to begin with. That was a product of the movie I came into. It was almost like they were cast into a role. Everything was already played out and they didn't know anything different. So when you are able to become a mirror of a different way of living, of a different way of being, it's impactful. It makes a difference. It's a way to shift other people's stories. That's why I'm very big on the line, become the perfect mirror. Because when you do, you can show someone what's available. You can show them what they're capable of shifting their life. Because a lot of us think that there's no way out. I know I thought that there was no way out. I struggled for 25 years of my life. And, you know, it was such a blessing that my brother even said those lines to me, you are not alone. I realized, oh my God, I'm not alone in my suffering. I'm not alone that I'm the only one that thinks that they can't change, you know, their life. It was huge for me.
And there's so much here to unpack. One of the things that you said along the way was when you moved into that mansion, that there was this great separation, physical separation, which made you feel more alone. It's interesting. Decades ago, there was this series on PBS about these people who went from modern day living. There were like, I think, three or four sets of people. And they went to Homestead for 6 months, and they were going to evaluate whether they had saved up, like, you know, enough wood for the winter, enough food for the winter. So it was taking these modern people, and there was this family from California that lived in this huge, huge home. And then they went for 6 months and they were living in this home that they built, this tiny little thing. And when they returned to life, it was like this huge shock because everybody was so separate now. They had this togetherness. But even when we have that physical togetherness, I think so many people feel alone. And I think that people who are on their spiritual journeys, people who are really looking within psychologically, part of the impetus is this feeling of the separation, this feeling of being an outsider, this feeling of being alone. So yes, within the context of your NDE, you got the message, you felt that you're not alone. How do you convey that message in a way to others where they're actually embodying it as opposed to just sort of hearing that it's theoretical?
Well, after my own personal awakening and not understanding the depth really of what that meant when I woke up, it took work. It took allowing myself to slow my life down and be in the moment to understand that, well, what does I'm not alone mean? I mean, you know, like my family, when I woke up, my family was still not, it's not like a snap of a finger and my family was like not addicts and there was no trauma and there was no this stuff. It was an understanding that there's more to this life, that there is spirit, that there is a connection to a higher power, and that we actually have a direct connection to source, which I was definitely not aware of when I was 25 years old. I had an inkling, you know, I knew that there was more even when I was a small child. So, you know, when I'm with anyone or when I am teaching or when I'm speaking, it's really an understanding of really why I'm on this show today, right? About becoming the hero of your story, of knowing that we are not alone, because this is really just a journey of finding ourselves.
Yeah. So are there ways of stepping back and looking at the role that we're playing on stage and recognizing that our story that we're telling ourselves is mistold, or that we're supposed to be walking from the stage we're at into a different theater playing a whole different role.
Yeah, I mean, my belief is when you are able to train yourself to slow down, when you are able mm-hmm. to really slow your life down and live into the now moment, you will start to recognize the cycles. You will start to recognize the patterns. You will start to recognize the characters that you are almost casting in your story to teach you the ways that you would like to go in your life. You know, you are writing all of the signs. You are creating the entire story for your highest evolution. But how can you know what that is unless you slow down and choose to live into the story? And to do that, you have to slow down. You have to really master your now moments in order to do that. And the reason I'm so passionate about that is because being on Adderall, which is essentially cocaine, it was speeding up my moments. So I could never even if I wanted to come back into this, I could never slow down. I was speeding up. Everything was about, you know, like, how can I get there faster? Or how can I, you know, produce this faster? And so when I woke up, I realized, whoa, okay, my conditioning coming from trauma, coming from addiction, it was all about speeding up. It was all about how can I do that? You know, how can I make them happy? You know, when they're upset, how can I get 20 steps ahead of them so like they don't get mad at me, or so mm-hmm. they don't blow up? And so when I started to slow down my life, and then I started to teach peace to others and teach them to slow down their lives, I started to realize that it wasn't just in my own life, that everyone mm-hmm. else just started to realize, oh, I created that. So I can do this to get to the next level of my life, or I created that, even if it's not the most beautiful thing that we want to see in front of us, we start to take radical responsibility around every now moment of our life, which opens up what I call the fairy tale.
Yeah. And one of the things about slowing down that comes to me is that when we slow down, it increases the potential for our awareness. So following through with the theater analogy, that allows us to not only be a character up on stage living out the story, but also to be in the audience mm-hmm. looking up at the character that is being played. And that is a really powerful combination.
100%. It's almost like constant astral projection. You're going from your... What I love Alan Watts, you know, referring to him, it's we become the witness, we become the witnesser, and then we become the witness of the witnesser, which is like, which is honestly the ultimate of this evolution, right? This is why.
Right. And it could go on. It's kind of like, you know, when you have two mirrors facing each other and it goes on and on and on and on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we're in a story, and we can come to this place of recognizing that there are aspects that have been serving us to get us to this next level. How do we reprogram so that we go into a different story?
Well, it comes back to radical responsibility, you know, because I believe that there's so much of our stories that we don't want to take responsibility for. And that was a very big part of my own evolution. Why would I ever want to take responsibility for my brother passing away in my story? Why would I ever want to take responsibility for being an addict, who treated people very unkindly for a very long time? This was a lot of having to, what I call, stand in the mirror and look myself in the face, which is something I teach, mirror work, and say, okay, you know what? I chose, right? That's also a choice. We chose to come into this human experience. Mm-hmm. I chose to be a soul that came into this human body. And if I can look at myself in the mirror and say, okay, you know what, Cass? I chose to be this addict. I chose to you know, write my brother out of my script. I chose to write my dad out of my script. If I could sit here and I can really love the entirety of my story. And I can also forgive myself for the entirety of my story. It allows this grace, this ease, this surrender into who I'm actually supposed to be in this life. It's like allowing the layers, like an onion, to just peel off until you get to that, you know, the core of who you really are. You know, none of us came into this human experience with a manual. None of us. It doesn't matter how conscious you are. No one knows how to do this thing right. So, you know, when we get to a space where we can say, you know what, I chose this in my story, and I'm going to own it. I'm going to own the entirety. The charge, the charge of it starts to just kind of dissipate. It's like, okay. Right. So if I'm owning it right now, there's this like no resistance to moving forward. You know, there's no, okay, well, I'm pushing up against the wall. It's like, okay, you know what? I'm owning it. I'm owning this aspect of myself. And this is how we start to reprogram ourselves. We start to take radical responsibility of who we've played and who we've chosen to play. And we don't judge it. We come to a point of choice, right? Every now moment is a choice to choose into a different character. Just like when I was in the hospital, I had a choice. But even, you know, say right now, I want to choose into being a different character right now, like in your show, I want to choose into, I have a choice, right? I have a conscious decision to choose it. But the only thing that's restricting that choice are limiting beliefs, our old thought patterns, our old programming, right? Our old
and our attachment to those beliefs, because that's one of the things, like my passion over the last several years has been about confronting sort of dematerializing some of my own beliefs and some of the collective beliefs and rebuilding them. But it's amazing how much attachment we have. So for instance, somebody's story, you know, if they have a lot of attachment to being victimized by a narcissist or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, victimized by the system that put you on Adderall, whatever. And with that responsibility, we also have to face the attachment that we have to our belief system that's not serving us.
Well, I believe it was Ram Dass that said, when you see that there's an attachment to something, you know that there's work to be done.
Yes.
Right?
So, right.
So within radical reprogramming, within what I do, it's not some little thing. What I love to do and what I live for is breaking down now moments. So it's about going into the programming and taking it one step at a time. Okay, so what belief is this connected to? And then going into that belief and doing the work around what that belief system is, and then loving yourself through it so you can transcend it. And you can alchemize it, because we can only alchemize something through love. Love is the biggest, best thing to alchemize anything through. Oh,
you just said a mouthful there. Say it again. Say it again. It's really important.
That love is the only way to alchemize anything and transcend anything in this world.
Yeah. And that part of the love is the self-compassion. It's the self-acceptance.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, I really feel like there's so much that we've been programmed to believe that turns into self-judgment, self-hatred, and lack of acceptance, and you know, and the unworthiness that comes with the fact that we have created things in our stories that are not necessarily the ideal if we thought, you know, about the best thing to create in a story. Things that we're ashamed of, things that we wish we'd done different, you know, whatever it is. So that self-acceptance isn't always easy.
No, but, you know, something I want to just point up with you saying this is, you know, the headline of my program is, it's not about actually doing anything in my program. Now Level Up is about doing nothing. It's actually about undoing everything.
Yes.
Because we came into this experience as these pure light, God consciousness souls. And since the moment we were in the womb, not came out of the womb, but in the womb, we've been programmed from everything we heard through the womb, from everything our mother thought. We were just these energy balls. If you visualize it, I'm very visual. We're an energy ball within another energy ball. And everything that she's feeling, thinking, understanding, seeing is all being programmed within us. Every thought. Yeah. If our mother's worried about finances, we are worried about finances. We come into this world with a fear of finances. Everything that, you know, so when we understand where our programming came from, when we have an awareness, right, about anything, we have an opportunity to transcend everything. Yeah. So if we can go back and we can understand where the programming actually was rooted in, we have the opportunity to undo all of that.
Yeah. And I love you thinking in terms of the energy balls, because that's sort of the way I visualize things as well. And sometimes I see that energy field as well. But, you know, it actually goes back before being in utero, because we can be programmed based on belief systems we left with in previous lives. Mm-hmm. Case in point, years ago, I was in a very dysfunctional marriage and I was having a heck of a time leaving. I knew that it would be in my best interest to leave. And to make a long story short, a friend of mine came up to my center and was teaching the Akashic Records and Akashic Record reading. And I really wasn't interested in taking it, but, you know, I wanted to support her. And first time I get into the Akashic Records, you know, after about an hour of explanation that, you know, I was in this past life. And, I was this girl with dark black stringy hair. I was about 13, maybe 12. And this male 20 something who was a family member was beating me with a chain. And I was this spunky, defiant thing. And I had taken food and I was being beaten because you're not allowed to just take food because food was limited. And I was defiant the rest of my life, but I left that life with this belief that if you take for yourself, that you're taking from the family. And I didn't want to be taking from my kids. I didn't want to be hurting my husband at the time by leaving, and just sort of vibrationally shifting that belief. Whew, it opened things up. And, you know, it was a weekend class. And by Monday I was looking for a new place to live and had things settled, you know, the beginnings of things settled with my soon to be ex. And that belief system, I was not aware of until getting into the Akashic Records.
Well, first of all, I just want to say and be and show up as a mirror for you of how powerful that is and how proud of you I am. Because the truth is that you created that moment, right? Mm-hmm. You created that moment in your story and you had a choice. You had a choice in that moment to remember that you were the hero of your story and that you could take a step towards it, or you could have left that moment and just disregarded it.
Right.
But you chose to own that you were the creator of the story. You chose into it. And then you chose to take that next step, that opportunity into becoming more of you, into becoming more of who you actually are. And that is so powerful. And that's one of the most powerful things that I believe we can wake up to, is that we are the creators of our reality, right? We are the creators of each moment. But unless we take that step and choose into that opportunity, that's stepping into the dream. You know, that's stepping into the dream. That's really stepping into the fairy tale. That's stepping into being the superhero and of our own story, is by listening to our own mirrors, you know? So you chose that, and that's beautiful. And I'm just like, and it's amazing. And I love the little kitty that just jumped on. She's so
she's not so little. She's a fat kitty.
She's so beautiful. But when I hear you say that, all that comes to mind is you chose. You chose you. And that was a clue that you wrote into your story in this life now, right? To change the generational patterning of your family, of your life. You know, and I believe that's what we are all waking up to right now. We are all given these just beautiful opportunities to step into our dreams, to become the heroes of our story right now. And especially with COVID, especially with what's going on right now, it's like with the acceleration of human consciousness right now, we're all given these opportunities throughout the day. It's like all day is just these huge energy waves. And I believe that the universe is saying, how many opportunities do you want in a day in order to choose your highest evolution right now?
Mm-hmm. And I think about as we become aware of our story, we begin to see more of our shadow. And I believe that's what's going on collectively as well. It's that we're in a crisis of sorts, but it's not. On some levels, it looks very dark, but on a whole other level, it's about facing, witnessing the collective story and taking responsibility. Once we bear witness to what is really going on, choosing to shift that story on a collective level.
100%. I have written down multiple times the line, we have an opportunity to become the perfect mirrors. And when we remember, the world will remember. So, you know, when we remember that our shadows do not define us, when we remember that we have the opportunity to love our shadows, when we have the opportunities to love it, which will integrate it, we can do that on a bigger scale. And I know that there's many of us, if not all of us, when we wake up, right? When the light is getting lighter, the dark has to get darker, right? Because it's yin and yang. When we wake up to how long we've all been unaware of what's actually been going on, it's not some little thing. It's this moment of, whoa, this is a lot. This is a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a radical shift of perspective that we can sit with of, oh, this is a lot, or, oh, this is really beautiful. This is a really big opportunity.
It's so exciting. I mean, it can be like smacking you in the face, like, oh, you mean so much of the history that I learned growing up in school wasn't actually true, or it was manipulated for us to have a certain perspective about it. What I believe about my government or the medical system, whatever it is, like, you know, fill in the blank. What I thought about this as truth was actually misconstrued, and it was actually a lie, or, you know, a version of truth that's not really true. Yeah. It's confrontational, and yet it's really exciting because it's like we're a horse that's getting the blinders taken off and getting to see what's around us.
Yeah. I mean, when I talk to anybody about it, I'm like, they're like, can you believe what's happening? I'm like, can you believe it? How beautiful is this? We're here for the most epic time of being alive. And my truth is I know that I chose in my story, my near-death experience. And I had a deep knowing that I was here for this moment of time. I knew I was here for this evolution, but it's like, I just keep telling everybody, it's like, yes, like we haven't known all this stuff, and yes, this is all like whatever, but how beautiful is it that we are the ones to be here to change it?
Yes.
We are the change makers. We are the ones with the voice, with the awareness, with the opportunity, to build this new world and this new earth for our kids, for our grandkids, for the new world that's coming. Like, that's the real history. This moment is like the actual history in our history books of like, wow, when this world became conscious.
Right. And you know, it is really exciting, but on the flip side, or as a part of the process of unfolding, as we face the darkness, as we illuminate what's in the shadows more and more, there's an aspect of processing where we really have to process a lot of grief. You know, I went through a stage probably about a year and a half ago where I just felt like the grief on so many levels was flowing through. And to me, it created this opening for more downloads. It created this higher level awareness, and yet it brought me to my knees. Mm-hmm. How, as we face our belief systems that, you know, that have been created for whatever purpose, but don't necessarily need to be a part of our story moving forward. How do we process the grief that we experience?
The way that I guess I'll say two things. I believe we came into this world for an experience, mm-hmm. right? We came in here for a full experience. We came in here to watch an action movie. We came in here to watch a comedy. We came in here to watch a rom-com. We came in here to watch, right? Exactly. Like,
yes.
Plays and movies play out. The beauty is coming home to, right, the understanding that we're in the audience of it, that we are experiencing the fullness and the entirety of the human experience. It would have been boring if we came in here just to experience, you know, this one storyline, but we all chose to come in here to experience all of these different things. And my truth and my honesty is I'm very well known in the space of grief. Grief has been a very big part of my life. And this past year, being on the road for Angels Across America, I came to a moment when I was in Maine where I knew that God was asking me to stop in my personal life and feel the entirety of the grief I've experienced in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was set up, you know, across from the most beautiful river with these mountains, with this little cabin. And I sat there and I cried for a month, probably every morning, every day. I was on my knees and I thought to myself, every day I was crying, every time I was feeling it, like just the beauty of being able to be on my knees, to feel, to actually wake up and say, you know what, Cass, you actually chose to be in this life and to wake up, to hold yourself about thinking about your brother dying or thinking about your dad dying or thinking about the way the world is turning out, to think about your mom. I found reverence in my story. I found reverence in all the characters I've played. I found reverence in just allowing myself to feel everything and know at the end of the day that I am nothing and I am everything, that this life is nothing and that it is everything. And it's impermanent, you know, like we're just here for a moment. And the fact that we got to experience whatever we've experienced, we all experienced grief. We've all experienced happiness. We've gotten all spectrums, right? It's right. Just about having reverence for the whole, for the entire experience in itself. And then also coming back to why I'm on the show today, right? To knowing that we're the ones holding ourselves now. We're the ones that are able to be there for us now. We're the heroes of our story. Like, I believe that's why we came here, you know, to hold ourselves, to be here.
And I do believe that as we step into that individually, that it has this energetic effect on others, whether we are supporting people directly, you know, people listening to this conversation, you know, people who come to us for mentoring, you know, or just standing next to somebody in the grocery store line, that it has this energetic effect, inviting others to bear witness to themselves, to perhaps shift if that's what they're invited to do.
Yeah. I call it radical permission.
Say more about that. I love that phrase.
So that's how I choose to live in every now moment of my life. I give myself radical permission to feel the entirety of what I'm feeling in whatever moment I'm in, because I know that permission breeds permission. Like being in a grocery store. And you know what? I'll say this. When I found out my father was dying, right, I ended up leaving and going to India and walking for 40 days and 40 nights. I had no idea. God was completely guiding me throughout my whole journey. And at one point I found myself on a plane to New Delhi, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I'm in the corner of this plane looking at a picture of my father crying, hysterically crying. And this gentleman sitting next to me. And at one point he taps on my shoulder and he says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "You know what? I got to be honest. No, I'm not. I'm not okay at all. I have no idea what I'm doing with my life. I left my business. I got up and left because my father's passing away. I'm here. I don't even know why I'm here. All this stuff. And you know what? He started crying. He opened up to me about his life. He ended up telling me, you know, I haven't opened up about this to anybody, but I feel like if you're opening your heart to me, the least I could do is open my heart to you. This was 4 or 5 years ago. And when I sat there and I was like, this was on the verge of me just really stepping into myself and owning myself for who I am. I was just like, you know what? No, I'm going to be me in every moment because I can tell that every time I step into the now moment as me, it is breeding permission everywhere I walk, everywhere I go. And I live and breathe this as my life. And to me, this is what we need more of. We need more of not holding back how we feel in each moment, because if you think about it like this, if I'm aware I'm creating my moments, right? I'm aware I'm creating every now moment. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to walk into every now moment as a radical permission and radical mirror of who I choose to be. I know that I am walking into an opportunity. The opportunity is for myself and for whoever's in front of me. And they have an opportunity to step into themselves. And every time I do, it's becoming this perfect mirror for everyone else, because they walk up. And I mean, I could never tell you what my days look like, the magic of my days, because of this choice, because everyone opens to me. And I live for that. I live to watch people open. I live to watch people step in and be like, huh. Every time I meet, like every time I meet someone, they're always like, there's a different resonance with you. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know what it is? Cause I don't need anything from you. I don't want anything from you. I don't desire anything. I'm just being myself. And there's an ease that comes over people when they can feel like they can just let go. And they're like, oh, it's weird because I feel like I can just be myself in front of you.
Not weird. And I really do believe that there's this vibration of allowing that is contagious. And I've been in situations where, you know, coming back to the example of being in a grocery store line, where there's an exhausted, overwhelmed mom with a toddler who's deciding to have a tantrum, to throw a tantrum. And instead of thinking, oh, I'd like to get away from this noise, or why doesn't she control him, whatever, just to be in this space of allowing that toddler to release the frustration and tension associated with not being able to control the world, allow that mother to be in this place of overwhelm, and just to stand next to that person, those people, and to be. And that acceptance in and of itself vibrationally affects others too. And so like the just the vibration, even if that man had never opened up to you next in that seat next to you on the plane, that whole vibration had to affect him. I have no doubt in my mind. But before we go any further, I want to make sure before we get to the end of this conversation, which I'm sure will end abruptly because we got so much to say. How do people get in touch with you, and what is it that you offer?
So people can get in touch with me in a few ways. One is through Facebook. My name is Cassandra Mary Bauer. My website is nowlevelup.com. And I also offer up a Now Level Up community on Facebook, which we've got hundreds of people there, and we help each other. It's called Mental Health Empowerment for this Ascension. And you know, people are there supporting each other daily. And what I offer is, you know, I guess in short, I help empower people to turn their trauma into their power. You know, I help people shift, you know, shift their pain into power, trade their pain in for purpose, you know. But, you know, I want to be honest with you. I'm a very interesting human in this world, because there's so much built on language, on what we are, on what we give. And I think at the root of what I actually offer to someone is a radical permission to come home to who they really are. and to discover that for the first time in their life. I allow people to really, know who they are underneath all the programming, underneath all of the, underneath all of the systems. And my transparency is, it's just love. You know, what I've realized in my life is each one of us are really just the purest form of love. And it's really about remembering that. And I help people really get to that moment.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Thank you, Vina.
Yeah. So as we move forward, there's so much about our stories that once we become conscious of our stories, that we want to not alter the past, but rather redirect, you know, get onto that other stage, start interacting with some new characters, so to speak, and redirecting our lives. How do we go about doing that? Because I know that there are people who are like wishing that they could get out of their job and you know, connect with a passion and move forward in that way, or shift a relationship, or get out of a relationship, or invite a new relationship in, you know, whatever it is. How do they move to that next stage, that next portion of their story?
I believe it's about slowing down. That is, and I'm going to continuously come back to that. It's really about slowing down and tuning in. And how do we tune in? We feel. We don't think, we don't use our mind, we use our heart. And it's really, I offer up putting your hand on your heart, asking the question and listening to yourself and not questioning the answer that you hear. Because if you tune in and you are not happy with a job and you go into your heart and you say, I want to shift this. I want to go into a different field, or you have a pull towards something else. And you say, you know, you close your eyes and you feel into, you know, is this right for me? Is this the right moment for me? And you feel, not think, but you feel, yeah, this is, to move towards it. And the only thing that hinders us from moving towards anything is fear. And fear is a program. And we are the love that actually moves through the fear, which a lot of people, I don't think, realize. We are the actual embodiment of the love moving through the fear programming. So if we can trust ourselves to move in every moment, right? That's why we break down our steps and move in and trust that we are the creators of our life. The universe will support us. And I say this, and whoever's listening, and you too, Chris, like, I live my life. I'm a wanderer of this world. When I came back into this world, something had drastically shifted. And what it was a pure connection to source, to a pure connection to self, to understanding that when I woke up in that hospital bed and I said, I'm going to choose to be the character of love, every moment since then, I have chosen to be love in every step. And it's gotten me to a full embodiment. Yes, I've had to go through a lot to get here. But each moment I kept consciously saying, okay, no, I'm going to choose this. I'm going to choose this. So keep choosing you. Keep choosing what feels right to you, not what your parents are telling you, not what your partners are telling you, not what your kids are telling you, and not what your programming is telling you. It's what are you telling you? What do you want? And it's going to feel uncomfortable and it's going to really feel different. But when you feel like it's uncomfortable, that's the cue to do it even more. Because
that's a very powerful message. And I think that one of the things that we're working on as individuals and collectively is learning how to pivot, pivot based on that understanding, that realization, that embodiment, and pivoting, you know, in one sense, it's about decisions and choices and, you know, maybe scary changes, whatever. But another sense, it's just like you're playing basketball and it's just, gonna pivot this way, gonna pivot that way. And it needs to be okay for us to do that. Cassandra Mary Bauer, nowleveluplevelup.com. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. May I say one thing before we get off?
You bet. Real quick.
It's a quote that one of my girlfriend's best friends, Mary, had told me yesterday, and this is hers. And I thought it was so beautiful to leave with. But you do not save yourself by saving the world. you save the world by saving yourself.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. And folks, this is going to get posted up on my YouTube channel. If you want to share it, please find your way to it and subscribe so you get notified when these conversations get put up there and my own videos. Thank you all for joining us here today. And Cassandra, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.